We wanted to share a special song with you today that was sung last week at Gateway Church. If you heard my message last week, I said that we wanted to lean into family, and we showed from the stories of Jesus in the Gospels how vital the unity of the church was to him, because the church was his plan A for bringing the kingdom of God to earth. And if it splintered and fell apart, his mission was dead. Well, over the centuries, there has been a lot of splintering in the church. But the miracle is that the church is still alive, still calling people into relationship with their Creator, and still calling out injustice in our societies. It's only the power of the Holy Spirit that could have kept the church together. We need to remind ourselves over and over again that it is not ultimately about our agendas or our ideas about right and wrong doctrine. It's about the unity of the bride. This song says, "You bless our togetherness." Psalm 133 says, "How wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along." Yes, that's where God commands the blessing, ordains eternal life. Across the churches, we may not always be like-minded, but we can be like-hearted.
Why does that cause such a big divide? Why, oh why? All accusations but no conversations, oh. Way too busy burning down bridges, forgot how to build them all. Lord, bring us back to His. Spirit, one God, we will worship. Spirit upon all flesh. We've come for nothing less. You bless our togetherness.
We're in the fourth week of our Leaning In series, and today I want to talk about leaning in to worship. There is one aspect of this that we can talk about that is relevant to everyone, even those of you who get to interact with church online. Because worship is not just about, you know, being in a church and singing songs. Worship is what happens when we recognize that Jesus is the King of our lives and we offer everything that we have and do to his service. It's what I do when I recognize that Jesus is the only one who is worthy of my life, my loyalty, my adoration, my gratitude, my love. But I know also that staying on the path of a life of worship is really hard to do without the sustaining encouragement of the family of God around me. And I spoke last week about the preciousness of God's family and how God uses us as a unified body in ways that he can't really use us just as individuals. Worshipping together has always been a mark of Christian community. It is our superpower and something that we should gather together to do as often as we possibly can. We can certainly sense the presence of God in our homes, our workplaces, our schools. This is a marker of being a healthy Christian, that you're able to sense the presence of God often in your life, when you're on your own, just you and him. But there is something powerful that happens in the supernatural realm when we gather together as a family. When you are actually at church, do you feel the presence of God when we worship together? If you don't, have you ever wondered why not? Did God not turn up? Was he there but we ignored him? Do we feel his presence only when we're in the mood? There is an amazing story in the Gospels that happened just after the crucifixion of Jesus. Two of his disciples had witnessed that crucifixion and you can imagine were so disheartened thinking that the whole of their dreams for the future had just died on that cross. They were scared of what the Romans could do to all of Jesus' followers, so a lot of them scattered, and these two guys were walking back to their village in Emmaus. And something amazing happens. The Gospels tell us that as these guys were walking, all of a sudden this third man joined them. And they got talking, and they were telling this man about why they were so upset about what had happened in Jerusalem. Didn't you know that the rabbi Jesus has been crucified by the Romans? And then this other man, who was, we find out, actually Jesus, he started to talk to them about the scriptures, and didn't they know that all of this had to happen to fulfill what was written in the scriptures, that God had a plan all along. And then when they came to their home in the village, and these two guys said to this man who they didn't recognize, "Will you come in and have a meal with us?" And of course, as soon as Jesus broke bread to begin the meal, the story says that the men recognized who he was, and then Jesus disappeared. And it says in the scriptures that these men were so excited to see him, and they ran back to Jerusalem. And as they were running back, that they were saying to each other, didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road, as he opened up the scriptures for us? Another version says, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road? These men felt the presence of God before they even recognized that God was physically with them. It's a confusing topic, you know. How does God show himself? Does he come more if we worship more sincerely? Or the band is a better band, or the songs are more to our liking? Does he come more if we listen more carefully, or dance more enthusiastically, or if the crowd is bigger, or if the crowd is smaller, or if we use candles, or if we lower the lights? There are three ways that the Bible talks about God's presence. So let's talk briefly about these three ways. In Psalm 139, we read this: I can never be lost to your spirit. I can never get away from my God. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there too. So what we're talking about here is a big word, but it's omnipresence. That means that God is present everywhere at all times. Another place in scripture, it says the whole earth is full of his glory. There is nowhere that we can hide from him. We are never alone because God's presence is everywhere. Omnipresence of God. This is our security. Now, the second sort of presence that the Bible talks about, one of the places it talks about is in John 15, where Jesus is saying to his disciples, live in me, make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you're joined to me. Jesus is talking about this special, not just presence out here, but this indwelling presence, that God comes to live inside of us. Now, this is a great mystery, the God of the universe being present in our frail bodies, shaping us from the inside out. This is an invitational presence. God doesn't, you know, take over our bodies like zombies. We have to invite him in. And this inner personal presence of Jesus, this is our everyday reality. And then there's a third presence, and it's seen in many places in the scriptures, but here's one that happened in Acts chapter 9. You may have heard of people having a Damascus Road experience. Well, the Apostle Paul, originally he was a Pharisee, and he had been doing a lot of work trying to kill this new Christian movement, arresting Christians, putting them in jail. And he was heading to Damascus to actually find and arrest Christians. And it says in Acts 9 that as he set off, when he got to the outskirts of Damascus, he was suddenly dazed by a blinding flash of light. The light was so bright, it threw him off his horse. As he fell to the ground, he heard a voice: Saul, Saul, why are you out to get me? And of course, the story goes on that was the presence of Jesus himself, as the resurrected Christ, who was visiting Paul in a miraculous way in order to change him, because he had a plan for Paul's life. Now, this presence is what we call the manifest presence of God. It's like God has a special way of showing himself for a special task at a special time. Now, this is a spine-tingling one, the supernatural one. People can get instantly healed. I've seen people just knocked over onto the floor. I've seen people given special abilities like the ability to speak in languages that they've never learned. It is the goose flesh experiences that change lives. It's powerful, but temporary in nature. We can't live there permanently. There's an intensity to it that we couldn't live with all the time. But this is what I call our jumpstart. When God wants to appear to use his presence in a way that makes us so aware that he is real. Now, which of these three presences, the omnipresence, the indwelling presence, the manifest presence, which do you think is the most thrilling? Well, I'd have to say the manifest presence of God. The times when he has shown himself like that are times I will never forget. Which do you think is the most comforting? Well, for me, it's his omnipresence, the knowledge that there is nowhere I can go where God does not see me and care for me and love me. Which one of those presences involves our will, that we have a say in it? Well, I think it's the indwelling presence of God, because we have to invite him in. This is where we need to live day by day, but we need to invite him every day to be with us, not because he isn't already, but because we have to remind ourselves every day that he is there and wants to work his will through us. In the book of James, there's a simple instruction: draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And how do we do that? We do that through the spiritual disciplines. It's not rocket science. It's prayer. It's connecting with God. It's reading our scripture where we really sense the presence of God as well. Coming into worship through the spiritual disciplines of serving other people, of giving our money as well. When you come to a gathering of God's people, when we come into worship, we can take the omnipresence of God for granted. He is present. But we need to cultivate the indwelling presence of God. We need to fire it up in our own spirit. Recognize his presence and let him fill you again. And can I encourage you, as I need to encourage my own spirit, that every time we gather in worship with brothers and sisters, we must come with an expectation of his manifest presence. We want to see him move powerfully every time we gather to worship. I would personally love a supernatural jumpstart every Sunday. The strength of my faith is not dependent on it, but it is oh, so sweet when you see God moving powerfully in people's souls. I know that God delights to visit his people. And he says in Matthew, ask and you will be given what you ask for. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened, for everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. If only you will knock, the door will open. God loves to give himself to us when we search sincerely for him. Just one last question. What does God feel like? People say, I really felt God's presence today. Well, for me, it can be tears. It can be a losing track of time. Maybe an answer or a vision that comes into my head that helps with a need that I've had. Often it's a deep sense of peace. It's so profound that it feels like I'm in a warm bubble and I don't even want to breathe for fear of just disturbing it. Other people experience God in many different ways. And can I say that some people never feel any physical sensation? And that's okay. God hasn't forgotten you. Just worship into who you know He is. Ultimately, it's not about standing there waiting for God to do something to you. It's about what you are bringing to Him. Focus your spirit on Him and let Him do whatever He wants to do. If you have never visited Gateway in person, I want to issue with you with a big, warm invitation to come on any Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, 10:45, stand with your brothers and sisters and worship Jesus. If you're watching outside the Frankston area, find a good church and go. He wants to bless our togetherness.